This is A Week at Work, a special series of podcasts from the Environment Agency Abu Dhabi, looking back at and celebrating a milestone in environmental thinking and education in the capital of the UAE, the 12th World Environmental Education Congress 2024. My name's Tim Elliott from the Environment Agency Abu Dhabi podcast, Naturally Educated. Under the theme Connecting People, Creating Tomorrow, WEC 2024, as we affectionately knew the conference, was an event characterized by deepened dialogues, expanded horizons, and the continual strengthening of the global environmental education community. Now, throughout the Congress, we spoke to the young people who attended the event to see what they knew, why they came, and what they expected to learn from being at WEC. And in this episode, get ready to meet another young person who attended the event. This time, PhD student Sneha Shahi joined us at the podcast booth to share her very own unique and rather impressive story. Welcome back to WEEC, the World Environmental Education Congress. My name's Tim Elliott. I'm here with Abdulrahman Alzabi, and we're joined by Sneha Shahi, who is an attendee. She's a speaker at the conference. She's a PhD student as well. And she has a particular story to tell. First of all, welcome. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Tim.
Let's just start with your story, and I'm going to just let you tell it.
First of all, thank you so much for having me here. It's a wonderful event to be a part of, where people from such different walks of life are coming in to talk about environment and specifically environment education. So jumping into it, I did not know that there's a field called environmental sciences up until I actually went to uni. And when we went there, I saw the subjects that aligned with it. It's so interdisciplinary that I really wanted to do it, because I've always wanted to be, you know, the jack of all trades. So I just went into it thinking like I'm going to learn so much more. But there were so many topics, but all of them were sort of disconnected from each other. So the curiosity didn't kill the cat, but it took me to the place where I wanted to, you know, sort of bring all of them into one roof. And I made a team of 10 students. And we were all like working for United Nations Environment Program. They had a campaign called the Plastic Tide Turners. So Gayatri and Arpan were running it in India, and we became a part of it. We didn't have any funding from other university or the local administration. So the 10 of us running around in winter mornings looking for a gutter, which translates to nala in Hindi. So we started looking at it, and we had heard rumors that there are crocodiles in it. In our city. The city I'm talking about is Vadodara in India. It's mm-hmm. in the western part.
Okay.
And we was just joking about that there cannot be crocodiles in a gutter. And to our surprise, we did see a few, not just one.
Wow.
And as we moved ahead, we started to map out the stream. So we went to the local municipality, and they said they don't have a map for it because it's not natural. But when we mapped it out, this is a bunch of students again. When we mapped it out, it was a part of the river and a natural rivulet, which now just looks like a gutter. So we realized how grave the issue was. And to be honest, if I show you a picture of that nala or the gutter, you can be in any part of the world and you would think that, okay, I've seen this in my city or in my village. Because the situation is that grave. So the 10 of us, with no funding, but a lot of motivation and passion, just and the interest to see crocodiles, we just went ahead and started doing a lot of data collection for the river. Again, all environmental sciences students. So we wanted our campaign to be backed by a lot of evidence. So we collected data on water quality. The oxygen levels in the water were zero, but the fauna was still thriving because there was good flora along the river. But then there were plans by the government to sort of make it concretized instead of leaving it natural. And all water bodies need a natural buffer, failing which we get floods, specifically flash floods. So we started to talk with officials. Nobody was willing to understand or even hear out these young group of kids. So we took the matters into our own hands, spoke to our professors at the university, who didn't have access to funding, but they did tell us that if we do start something, they're not going to tell that we were not in the class.
Mm.
So they really helped us that way. And one fine day, about 5 years ago, we were doing this cleanup. In about 3 hours, we were able to remove 700 kgs of plastic, glass, and metal waste from the stream. And it was stopped then because many people got offended that why are these kids doing it? It's our job. So again, a lot of politics went into it. We had to urge a lot of people to, you know, just continue helping us, letting us do what we really want to do. But the question always loomed that, so why are you doing this? What are you getting out of it?
So people were suspicious.
Yes.
What are these 10, 11 students up to? Why? What's going on?
Why are they cleaning a stream?
Mm. Mm.
Something which was a question for them, like, why are we doing this, came very naturally to us that we should be doing this.
Yeah.
So that's where my environmental journey began, with a team which did not question why are we doing this, but would question why is not everyone doing it?
Fair enough. And you mentioned this buffer, and I assume it's some sort of natural buffer. Can you elaborate on that? What do you mean by that?
So along the stream, there was a natural tree and a grass cover, which is its riparian, essential for managing the excess water that comes in the floods and doesn't go into the cities or into the habitat. But once we encroach it, once we build on it, and in the next flood, we have waters. It's not flooding that's happening. It's we who built it on the place the water should be.
I see what you mean. Okay. Yeah. So nature itself is the solution here.
Yes.
That's exactly what I was going to say. But I mean, if you hadn't come along, Sneha, to do this with the drive that you very clearly have, this is something that's, I guess, quite personal to you. This is something you believe in. What would have happened if you guys hadn't done what you did?
So after we did the cleanup, we didn't stop there. Okay. We taught ourselves bioengineering and we went along the river trying to establish these structures which are going to be there for ages to come. So we used bamboo, we used coconut coir, everything. If it fails and falls into the river, will degrade. Mm. Nothing concrete, nothing metal. After we did this, we realized that we really do need funds. And when we did go to the university, they didn't have any. So it was a little heartbreaking, but I believe in circular leadership. So I was about to leave the university and move on from my higher education. So I passed on the baton to the next girl. And then she did the same thing when she was passing out. And it kept happening. The university got lucky that they had all of us who were so self-motivated. But where we are lacking is that there is no encouragement to bring out that passion in the other students that are there. So had we not been there, we have been told this by other seniors who are in the field that, you know, we were there in the university. We were seeing this river daily, but we didn't want to do anything. And why did it not strike us? We were studying the same things. We had the same access to resources.
Mm.
So for me, it is a very personal thing to have cleaned the river, but I could not have done it without my brilliant team.
That's fantastic. And it's team effort, as you say, kind of brings this. And I assume the team grew with time after they saw some results. So you were sort of the catalyst that got people to believe in the vision.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. It's very inspiring, actually.
That's the word, actually. And we use this term a lot, don't we? Inspiring stories. But that genuinely is. I'm sat here kind of open mouth thinking, you kickstarted something here because you saw that what should have been happening as a matter of course, by an authority or a civic authority, wherever, wasn't happening. It begs the question, you're a PhD student. Have you finished your education now?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, so that's still ongoing.
Yeah.
So how do you use this experience? Where are you going to go? What are you... Because I can see in your eyes, I'm looking at you thinking, she's up to something next. I know something's going to happen. Where do you go from here?
So the cleanup happened in 2020. Mm-hmm. Because of the pandemic, everything was shut down. Mm-hmm. So the river stayed clean. And our nature-based solutions, as we call it, that we deployed, stayed as is for a year. So it got the native flora and fauna back.
Right.
And because we had the letters to monitor the river, we used to go and like the crocodiles that we would see once a year, now we would see throughout the year because they had a free flowing river where they can move.
Mm.
So we didn't bring back the crocodiles as many of the newspaper articles said, but we did revive their habitat for them to be back in it. After I did that, I really wanted to do a PhD because I really believe like STEM and environment education have to go hand in hand. If we need innovation and if we need to make environmental education more accessible, it has to go into every field, be it engineering, management, or tech. So for my PhD, I chose a subject which is the social ecological systems theory, bringing in the sociology and the ecology of rivers together and then studying how the rivers have shaped the civilizations of our nation and of our world. And then ultimately, how are we reshaping them? We are sort of concretizing them, trying to tame these wild, beautiful ecosystems. So how would it react? If we go without water a day, how would we react? But if the water of the river runs dry, how would the river react? So trying to answer these kind of questions through my PhD. And, you know, this river is extremely beautiful. It flows through 5 different kinds of ecosystems. Would you believe that?
Wow.
It starts in a forest, into the paddy fields, into the mangroves, and into the coast. So it's a beautiful ecosystem.
It's incredible because I think a lot of us don't consider the importance of rivers when it comes to building nations. Where I come from the UK. I come from just outside of London. Obviously, the Thames is a major river there. I have a great interest in the Vikings, the Scandinavian conquerors of that era.
Yes.
But Ireland is a country built along its river system, and all of the major cities are originally Irish and Viking settlements. And when you look at it from that perspective, it's at the very root of human civilization.
Indeed.
Is that a corny phrase? But it really is.
It really is.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fascinating story.
Nations, countries, everything has sprung around rivers.
That's right. So you're here at the World Environmental Education Congress. Clearly, you have a lot of knowledge to pass on. A very real reaction to biodiversity loss in the flesh with us, trying to counter that. How are you finding the event? What have you learned since you've been here?
It's been so wonderful. I actually learned a new term yesterday, which is called youth washing.
Okay.
Which we've seen in many other conferences before, and we didn't even realize that that's happening. We were given the stage, but we weren't heard. And that's different with WEC and YEC as a part of it. We are given the stage, and we are also heard. And we've been told at the end of it, we also have to sit down together and make a roadmap for the next one. So that will actually be how we would be passing on the information. So that makes it, you know, one of a kind.
Well, you've just literally come from a session that you were part of outside. And if you listen very carefully, you can hear we're competing with the sessions because we're at the Youth Congress. You make a really, really good point because this is an event all about environmental education. It's very much focused on young people, of which I am clearly not a part here, which I keep saying. But the things that you are saying, and my guess is in 2 days' time, as this conference ends, the things that you're saying now are going to be acted upon.
I hope so. I know the youth leaders in the delegation with me are going to act on it.
That's good.
And I really know that they're going to act on it because, as I told, we were discussing this yesterday. We're not listening to anything new.
No.
So what different are we doing with this conference? The difference that we're making is we're trying to learn from each other the challenges that we have and sort of help each other and guide each other how to navigate the environment education sector. What different we are doing, we have people here who are very hands-on with their approach.
Sure.
Like I told before, I love to be out on the field, wading into the rivers, into the forest, looking for owls, looking for otters, you know, looking for fish, talking to the farmers and the fishers who live near these rivers. So for me, I know that every time I collect data, I will translate it into layman language to make them understand what's there in their backyard. And I hope that's something we all can take away from this conference, learn from each other, and then grow locally for global solutions.
It's all very well to talk about it, isn't it? To talk about environmental education, to say that it's really important, to say that I want to make sure my kids learn. But I think it's very much stories like yours, where you're passing on a real world situation. This is what we did. This is what 10 students, and the crux of this, it's an incredible story of 10 young people who get together and make a change.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it can happen.
It can happen.
We've heard it here.
Absolutely.
Sneha Shahi is a PhD student. She's here at the World Environment Education Congress, at the Youth Congress. And it's been really cool speaking to you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
More from the young people who spoke to us at WEC 2024, the 12th World Environmental Education Congress in Abu Dhabi. That was Sneha Shahi sharing her very own sustainability student power journey along the waterways of her home in India. And I should point out, a lady you heard mentioned there was one of the speakers at WEC, Gayatri Ragwa. Gayatri lived for many years in Abu Dhabi, and she's a former Environment Agency Abu Dhabi pioneer as well. If you'd like to hear more from Gayatri, you'll find her in Season 3, Episode 10 of Naturally Educated. Thanks for joining us for episode 3 of this special series of podcasts celebrating the 12th World Environmental Education Congress 2024, a milestone in environmental thinking and education from Abu Dhabi. Next time, we'll hear from another youth voice, a Malaysia-based teacher from the Global Schools Program, who joined us at WEC with a young educator's perspective on environmental education.